Turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. The book of Proverbs is the book of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, it says, "Where there is no revelation or vision, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. Where there is no vision, people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law." In many cases, people in the church, we're talking about church people, have cast off restraint, not because they're not part of the kingdom, but because they don't see where God's going. Revelation or supernatural vision is being able to see what God has in store and then going towards it. It's not enough to see it. You have to be moving towards it. Vision isn't out there so that we can stand still and admire it. We're not here for a beautiful vista. Amen? Maybe New Buena Vista, but that's not what we're after. We're here because God has a plan and a purpose. Jeremiah 29:11 is the Lord Himself speaking. He says, "For you know the plan that I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." Thank God that He has a plan. Thank God that He doesn't let me mess it up. Amen?
Amen.
Because I'm more than willing to do that. I know how bad I can mess things up. This week I've been working out at my dad's house, and my dad passed away in August. Yesterday would have been his 80th birthday. And as I was working on different things, I thought, man, Dad would have enjoyed this. Dad would have loved this. Dad would have been right in the middle of all this. Dad would have been telling me what I'm doing wrong about this. The reason that I can say any of that is because of the vision that my dad imparted to me while he was here. I know what he would think, I know what he would say, what he would do, because I know him, and I know what was on the inside of him, what was in his heart coming forth. And when we talk about the vision of God, what we're seeing is God's vision from his perspective. What God wants to do in the earth from his perspective. And I'll tell you what, it'll set some boundaries for you. Amen? Well, you know, God has set us free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. There's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Those who are just trying to put limits on me just don't understand the freedom that we have, the grace that we walk in. I don't use language like that anymore, but let me just say that that's so much horse hockey. Amen?
Amen?
Because if you truly are going after God, the limits that you set are limits that you set because of love. My wife and I got married back in 1975. A long time. Some of you weren't even born. That makes me feel old. Somebody asked me the other day if I got the senior discount at Denny's. I was insulted. And then I stopped and thought about it and thought, holy smokes. Not yet, but it's getting close. Larry, the fact that you know that
I accept
tells
it.
Me where you're at.
I accept it.
Where was I? See, the limits that we set are set by the love relationship that we have. When Lynn and I got married, I didn't get married to Lynn and think, well, if this doesn't go as well as I'd like, I'll find a friend. You know what I'm talking about, right? The boundaries were set not because I stood at the altar and made a vow. The boundaries were set because I made a choice to love this woman, my wife Lynn, with all of my heart till death do us part. I am not faithful because there's a rule that says I have to be faithful. I'm faithful because I love her. In the same way, God has given us the gift of righteousness. And it's a gift. But we've got to walk in it. And I don't walk in righteousness because it's a rule. I walk in righteousness because I love Him, because I want to be found pleasing to Him. I walk in righteousness because the limit that it sets on me is a limit that keeps me in love with Him. Because when I start getting out on the fringe of that, and trust me, I lived on the fringe for a long, long time. When I get out on the fringe of that, the love relationship suffers. If I go out to a party or something and I'm there with my wife and I'm flirting with other women, first of all, she's going to beat me in the head. But second of all, it's going to hurt her deeply. She committed herself to me alone. And I committed myself to her alone. So if I was to flirt with somebody else, that's a violation of the promise, a violation of the trust, and it takes what we have and turns it to nothing. So think about that in our relationship with God. If I'm willing to dabble in sin, what's that say about our relationship? Look at what Jesus did for me. We've just been talking about this. Look what Jesus did to give me a relationship with Him. A love relationship that's unlike anything else. Would I dare trash that by dabbling in sin? By not living to the standard of righteousness? By being willing to feed my flesh instead of feeding the relationship? It is. It's speaking about our relationship. I'm thankful that God has been faithful to me for all of these years. I got saved in 1966. That's a long time ago.
Amen.
I never, ever thought about how long this relationship was going to last. I never thought about how much work it was going to be. I never stopped to question what was going to be required of me. He invited me to join his family, and I said yes. Back in 1966, I was 10 years old. I didn't have the capacity to think very far beyond today. And I don't mean this day, I mean that day. How many of you have a 10-year-old around? How many of you know that a 10-year-old may be good for 10 minutes? Maybe. 5 minutes, probably. 2 minutes for sure. And you have to be very careful what you say to them, because permission once is permission for a lifetime. But denial once is a denial once. Right? So what I understood about the gospel at age 10 and what I understand about the gospel today are worlds apart. I'm thankful that God didn't give up on me because I was an idiot. I'm thankful that when I messed up, He didn't quit. Amen? That when I was unfaithful, He remained faithful. But the reason that I'm here today is because I saw from His perspective what life could be. And I chose to follow. The vision was imparted to me, and I chose to follow. And the further I've gone in this, the more I see the vision that God has. How many of you know that I'm just a little bit passionate about the topic of politics? I get it, honestly. I had somebody stop the other day. We were talking about my dad, and he said, "Oh," he said, "I knew your dad. I knew your dad. We had some conversations," and all I could think was, "Yeah, I'll bet you did." So my passion for politics comes pretty legitimate. But I've come to find out that politics doesn't mean much at all in terms of the kingdom of God. Because God really doesn't care who's president. Amen?
Yeah, it's true.
He's not moved. He hasn't changed his mind. He hasn't changed his plan. He hasn't changed the vision that he had for this country all the way back when it was founded. He doesn't care who's president. He doesn't care who's senator. He doesn't care who's congressman. Now, he cares about what they do. But the fact of the matter is, we have more power over that than they do. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land." We hold the power as intercessors. The Bible tells us that our president is actually just a pawn. We knew that, but the Bible says the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. And like a river, he turns it the way that he wants it to go. Well, yeah, but he's an unbeliever. Well, you know what? So was Darius. So was Cyrus. So was Nebuchadnezzar. And yet God used every one of them to accomplish his purpose in the earth, to set his vision in motion and bring his vision to pass. As a matter of fact, God used an ungodly king to build the temple in Jerusalem. The wealth of the wicked, the Bible says, is laid up for the just. God can move the wicked to accomplish his will. It's so much more fun, though, if you cooperate. Amen? Some of you are old enough to remember 1963. On August 28th, 1963, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. made a historic speech. And I know that it'll ring in you just as quick as I started. And it said, "I have a dream." The "I have a dream" speech has been used over and over and over again to motivate people to do things and to cause people to have a course of action. And people have used it to manipulate people. But the fact of the matter is, Dr. King understood the power of vision. And he talked about the day when our nation would not be driven by the racist mentality that was prevalent in the 1960s. I remember those days. I remember those days really, really well. And I'm sad to say that it seems like we're drifting back into them. We made a lot of progress. Let's not lose the progress that we've made. Amen? Because the Bible tells us that God created all men equal.
Amen.
There is no reason for the color of a man's skin, for his place in society, for his financial status, to have any bearing on whether or not God uses him or whether or not we have fellowship with him. We're here to make a difference and demonstrate the way that the kingdom of God operates. But in order to do that, we've got to see things the way God sees them. How many of you know there are people who are in need? How many of you know God isn't moved? God's not moved by need. What moves God? Faith. It's only by faith that God can move. It's only by faith, taking Him at His word, operating in the promise that He's given us, that we can see God's hand move in the earth. How many of you know that Jesus said, "The poor you'll have with you always"? So, no matter what we do, there's going to be poor folks. See, I'm from the South, so that's the way we say it. Poor folks. Not to be confused with the sandwich, po' boy. And the reason that people are poor is not because of their financial status. There are a lot of people with a lot of money who are poor. John D. Rockefeller was asked how much money is enough, because he was fairly rich, and he said, "Just a little more." That's a man in poverty. Because Paul said, "I've learned how to abase, and I've learned how to abound. I've learned how to do with a lot, and I've learned how to do with a little. But in all of the things that I do, I've learned to be content." Learn to be content. Content is not satisfied. Let me tell you, don't misunderstand. We're not going to sit back and say, "Well, you know, this is as good as it gets." We're not going to resign ourselves to where we are. We're going to press in until we receive everything that God has for us. I was talking to Tracy this morning. We're talking about healing and the fact that God's plan for man is not healing. God's plan for man is certainly not sickness and disease, but it's not healing. 3 John 2 says, "I would," this is God speaking, okay? He's speaking through the writer, but he's saying, "I would above all things that you prosper and be in health." God isn't desiring that we get healed. He's desiring that we walk in health.
Amen.
God isn't desiring that we would get a gift that would cause us to increase. He's desiring that we'd walk in prosperity. But he puts a little condition on there that most of us don't catch. Even as your soul prospers. You're only going to go as far as you got revelation on. So how do I get more revelation? Well, you snuggle up to the revelator. You let him tell you. You let him speak into you. You let the vision of God rise up inside of you and create a strategy to get to the place that he's painted for you. It'll happen. I promise, it'll happen. How do you know? Because I've read my Bible. And just like Dr. King talked about the dream that he had, and people picked it up and began to run with it, God tells us the same thing. Habakkuk chapter 2, he says, write the vision and make it plain that he who reads it can what? What? Run with it. Run with it. Everybody say run with it. Okay. Now, do you understand the difference between run with and run after? Okay. Come on, Michaela. You're a runner, aren't you? Do I have to get a real runner? Huh? Well, I'll tell you what. Let's see how you do, and then we'll see whether we're going to include her in this. Okay? Here's the vision. Run with it. Now, where's the vision?
With her.
If she needs to review the vision, what does she need to do? Okay? You've got it right there. Run with it. Okay? Now, you understand? I want to make sure you get the difference, right? Because to run after, it's a little different. Okay, Lauren, here's where you get to. Now, how fast can you run?
Faster, but not in these boots.
No, roll it up there so that you got it. Okay? We'll give you a little head start because of your boots. Okay? So, you got the vision. Run with it. Now, you have to run after it. Now, come on back. Because I want everybody to see this, because this is important. She ran after it until
she got it,
and then she runs with it. Right?
Yeah.
But this is even better. Turn around. You two hold hands now. Now run with it. Together, we can run with it. Amen? Thank you, girls. Let's give them a big round of applause. They're great. And when we run with it together, it's easier. It's so much easier because if I forget what's going on, I've got you to remind me. And when you forget what's going on, you can be reminded by me. And we can encourage each other. We can refresh each other. You remember the story about them being on the road to Emmaus? And on the road to Emmaus, what are they doing?
Discussing.
They're talking to each other. They're talking about the things that they're facing, the things that they're dealing with. And they're encouraging each other with what they know. And then along comes Jesus and he says, can I walk with you? Well, sure. It's a free road. You can do what you want. And they're walking along. He says, well, what are you talking about? And they said, well, you know, there's been some stuff going on in Jerusalem, man. Have you been out of the country? Do you not know what's going on? And he says, well, tell me about what's going on. And they start telling him. And before long, he's telling them about what's going on based on what the Word says. Everybody say, based on what the Word says.
Based on what the Word says.
Because the Word produces what? Faith comes by
hearing,
and hearing by. So he's giving them the word, and faith is rising up on the inside of them. Faith is coming to the forefront. Faith is stirring in them, and they don't even realize what's going on. They think they're just on the road for a walk, having a talk. But what's going on is the vision is coming back. The vision is being restored. The vision is rising on the inside of them. And as the vision is rising, they're walking with it together. Walking with it. Amen? And they get to the end of the road and Jesus leaves them and they go, holy smokes, it was Jesus. Anybody ever been there? Didn't realize how much it was God until it was all over. And they turned around, and that whole day's walk, they covered in that night running back to tell the disciples, we've been with Jesus. Because that's what happens when you've been with Jesus, is you got to tell somebody. You got to tell somebody about the difference that He makes in your life. You've got to tell people about how He healed you. You've got to tell them about how He set you free. You got to tell them because Jesus has changed everything in my life. How many of you remember the good old days of religion? Anybody miss them? I'm going to tell you, I don't miss it at all. I was faithfully in church. I did everything. I mean, we had communion every week, folks. And I didn't miss. Because I didn't want to go to hell. Amen? You know what I'm talking about? That's bondage. That's not freedom. I was afraid that if I missed... I mean, what if something happened to me and the priest couldn't get to me to give me the last rites? Man, I'm going to spend eternity in hell. And then I met Jesus. And He changed everything. Then when I came in for communion, it changed what I understood about communion. Then when I came in and talked about prayer, I wasn't reading something out of a book. I was speaking something out of my heart. It wasn't about a tradition. It was about my Jesus. And all that He's done for me. And as a result, all that I want to be able to do for Him. Vision changed on the inside. I went from being blind and dead to being alive and able to see. Now, let me just say, my vision is not 20/20, you might have noticed. And that's true in the spirit realm as well. But it's getting better. I went into the doctor for my appointment this time, and I went to a different doctor. I get to the place where I don't like the same mechanic all the time because I'm not sure that he's not into job security. I don't like the same doctor all the time because I'm afraid he's into job security. So I'll change it up from time to time just to make sure that they're honest. And I went in for my eye appointment this time and the guy said, "How old are you?" And I thought, great. I got an idiot. And I said, it is in my record, right? And he said, yeah. He said, but I don't believe it. He said, your eyes are really healthy. Which is not what the last doctor said. And I asked him to give me the rundown, and he did. And I said, well, praise God, they're getting better. He said, were they getting worse? And I said, no, but now they're getting better. You understand what I'm saying? I hit bottom somewhere else. I'm on the way up. I will have all that God says I will have. Nothing missing, nothing lacking, nothing defective, nothing broken. It's mine in Jesus' name. When's that going to happen, Pastor? It's going to happen when I finally get to the place where the revelation overwhelms the doubt. And faith rises and causes me to walk in all that He has for me. Well, how long will that take? It's going to take a lifetime. And that's okay. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'll be better next month than I am today. I'll be better the month after that than I was before. I'm going to continue to increase. Well, you know, you're getting older. Thank you for reminding me. You know, with age come certain things. I'll tell you what age brings. Age brings wisdom.
Amen.
And the Bible tells us Jesus was made unto me wisdom. So therefore, wisdom abounds to me, and the older I get, the better I am at understanding it.
Amen.
Well, what are you going to do about those age-related diseases, those age-related problems? I'm going to laugh at them. The Bible tells me that Moses was 120 years old when he died. That his strength was not abated, neither was his eye dim. Does that sound like old age to you? Who said you have to be frail? Who said you have to be failing? Who said you have to falter? Who said that any of it has to be broken? Well, Pastor, now you're just making me feel bad. Well, don't feel bad. Come up to it. Amen?
Amen?
We preach the ideal. We live the real. But that's no excuse to stay the way that we are. Let's go for something better. If something better is available, let's go for it. If you had a chance to step up to a better car and knew that it was already paid for, wouldn't you take the keys and run?
Absolutely.
Have you seen the one commercial with the Dukes of Hazzard? Those poor boys are still driving the same car. They really are from the country. I noticed they went into the dealership and they saw this really nice sports car, and all I heard them say was, "Can you get that in orange?" And all I could think was, "You guys haven't learned anything. You're going to bust that one up too." I was out in Hollywood and I went to where they actually filmed it, and I said, "How many cars does it take to do this show?" 13 cars per episode. 13 cars per episode. Where do you find that many of them? I didn't think they made that many. And I know that they had to paint all of them. Nobody in their right mind was painting it safety orange. Well, that's not true. There was one guy that worked at Headstrom that probably would have, but I remember a certain Chevette that ran around town in safety orange for a while. It wasn't yours, Larry. Relax. My brother did some things that nobody was proud of, except him. And some people are just like that. It's our vision that drives us. It's our vision that makes us what we are. It's our vision that keeps us moving forward. I was on the phone the other night. I got a phone call at 10:30 at night and said, "Pastor, can I speak to you?" Well, that's a stupid question because I answered the phone. If I didn't want to talk to you, the machine would have picked up. Esther asked me one time, she said, "Can I call you anytime?" And I said, "Anytime." She said, "Anytime?" And I said, "Yes, absolutely. You can call me anytime. And just so y'all know, if you want to call me, you can call me anytime. It really doesn't matter what time, day or night. But just understand, if the machine picks up, leave a message." It's what it's there for. I answered the phone. I'm willing to talk. I didn't realize it was going to be an hour and a half. At 11:30, he finally said, "I'm sorry to take so much of your time, but I just want you to know how much you've ministered to me tonight." Vision drives us to do things that we might not want to do, we might not be comfortable doing, we might not feel it's convenient to do, but we're going to do it because it's what God has put us in here for, and we see the opportunity and we seize it. We were out at the hospital visiting with Tracy and her family, and Tracy was waiting on surgery, and while she was waiting on surgery, we were out in the waiting room, and this guy who needed Jesus in the worst way decided to strike up a conversation. And all I could think was, "Buddy, you opened the door." And we then went on to have, 30 minutes, Kathy, of conversation? And he did his best to impress us with how smart he was, how rich he was, how important he was. And all he impressed me with was how arrogant and stupid he was. He said a lot of things that I knew weren't true. And it's okay. He was an unbeliever. Unbelievers have a habit of lying, in case you haven't noticed. But if you're going to invite me into a conversation, Jesus is going to be part of the conversation. And I spent 30 minutes trying to turn the conversation to Jesus. And every time I did, he would turn it right back to him. And I'd turn it to Jesus, and he'd turn it back to him, and I'd turn it to Jesus, and he'd turn it back to him, until we got to almost the end of the conversation, and he said something about, he had read his Bible, and I thought, he heard. The seed has been sown. I would love to have been able to finish this story with, and then we prayed together, and he received Jesus, got filled with the Holy Ghost, and it was a wonderful, wonderful story. But the Bible says, one plants, another waters, and God gives the increase. Vision says, this is bigger than me. It's bigger than this encounter. It's a whole lot more than what we see in the everyday. Let's trust God. Tracy was talking about, why did she have to go through the things that she did there? And I have one of those real deep theological answers. I don't know. Truth is, I don't have all the answers, but I have the answer. And in the middle of everything, if we continue to trust God, no matter why we're in the situation we're in, God will turn it to good. Whether we were stupid and got into a situation, or whether the enemy's attacking us, we got in a situation, or whether it's just the course that we're on put us there, it doesn't really matter. See, it's not about where we're at. It's about where we're going. God's got a plan. For I know the plan that I have for you, says the Lord. A plan to prosper you and not to harm you. A plan to give you a hope and an expected end. We know where we're going. Amen? How many of you are on the road to heaven? Hallelujah. How many are you going to be glad when you get there? Anybody in a hurry? I remember people talking about, well, there were more people on the other side than on this side, and heaven was looking pretty good. I'm telling you what, heaven started looking pretty good the day I got saved.
Amen.
I'm ready to go. Yep. But I'm not leaving until I've done everything that He's given me to do. I'm not checking out early. I'm going to take every minute of life that I can get, because the gospel of the kingdom must be preached in all nations. And then shall the end come. And I'm a preacher. You're a preacher.
Amen.
Look at the person next to you and tell them, I'm a preacher. I didn't say poke them, I said tell them. You're just in such a habit of poking people. You just think, well, that pastor, I know what he's going to say. He's going to say poke them and tell them. God wants us to be driven by what's ahead of us. Christ Victory Church is a worshiping church.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I am so excited that we're a worshiping church, because worship brings us into the presence of God. And when we come into the presence of God, we hear the heart of God. When we hear the heart of God, it changes us. We see things differently. We hear things differently. We do things differently. It's good to come into the presence of God. If you're feeling like you don't have your act together, get into the presence of God. Be a genuine, real, true to God worshiper. It'll change you. But we're not going to stop there. Christ Victory Church is a worshiping church, and we're making disciples. Amen?
Amen.
Making disciples means that we are building a structure of people that will take the vision to the next generation, and the generation after that, and the generation after that, that we will continue to do what we're doing, and it will continue until Jesus comes. This is not the end of the story. We don't do children's ministry to occupy our kids. Amen?
That's right.
We're building leaders. We're building world changers through children's ministry. We don't do youth ministry just so that the teens have something to do. I mean, after all, it's our community, and there's not a whole lot for kids to do. So we'll do a youth ministry. No, that's not how this works. We are building in these young people a vision of what God wants to do and how He wants to do it. And in building this vision, we are giving them everything that they need as the next generation to take this and run with it. That's a good place to shout. I mean, you don't have to. I realize that there are some really quiet people here, but every once in a while, it really feels good from up here to hear you shout.
Lord.
Yeah. We don't do ministry the way that we do just to fill a schedule. God knows I've got enough to do that I don't need to add another day. My mom said the other day, she was looking at getting a new house. My mom has decided, since my dad's gone, that she's finally going to have the house she always wanted. So she's been looking at this house, and she said, it's going to need a lot of work, and I don't know where you're going to find time to do it. I guess you're going to be glad when I'm gone. And I thought, Ma, please don't talk like that. And I said to her, Mom, I was busy before I started on your projects. I'll be busy when your projects are done. I've always got something to do. I'm a doer. But as long as you're here, I'm going to do what you need to have done so that you can have the life that you want to have, so that I can, at the end of your life, go, my mom was blessed. Amen?
Amen.
Well, how much more so with God? Well, you know, God, I'm busy. I've got grandkids that I got to tend. I've got a wife who just won't leave me alone. She's got this list this long and things I got to do. And sometimes I just don't know how it goes. Why are you looking at him like that? Holy smokes. You don't tip your hand in church and let people know that he's got a list that long. He'll tell everybody. I know him. Michaela's going, why do I sit on the front row? Every week it's the same thing. Where's your snacks? She forgot her snacks. Wow. And you're not losing it. Probably because it was communion and you got a little.
At least I got something.
Got something. There we go. How many of you are willing to do anything God tells you to do? See a hand. How many of you want to hear the terms first? Yeah, that's actually probably a far more realistic feeling. We say, God, I'll do anything, I'll do anything, I'll do anything. And he says, go do this. And we go, anything but that. Eat anything they put in front of you, anything but that. One trip to Africa will make you go, oh, God, if I had faith, I could eat. You learn not to ask, what is it? Right, Lindsay? Because you don't want to know. And when they bring it to you wrapped in a leaf, oh, yes. Everybody right away is going, not called to missions, not called to missions, not called to missions. Hey, listen, go to New York City and eat something from one of the street vendors and tell me you don't have to be in faith. Who knows where that's been? My friend Phil, we were talking about the infamous New York City dirty water dogs. And I said, what in the world is a dirty water dog? And he said, well, it's basically a hot dog cooked in toilet water. And I went, really? And he said, well, that's what it looks like. He said, some of those guys change the water in their carts at least once a week. Yeesh. We want something better than that, don't we? But vision drives you. So that when you go to some place like Haiti or to Africa or to South America and they put that stuff in front of you, you don't even think about it. You just do what you're doing because that's not why you're there. You don't care. You really don't. I mean, you actually look at it and think, wow, that looks good. And then you get home and think, what did I eat? You start telling the story. And it hits you. What did I do? And you realize, thank God for vision. Because it takes you places that you might not go. It helps you do things that you might not do. And it lets you become the disciple that he meant for you to be in the first place. We're a worshiping church. We're making disciples. And this is the part I really like. We're changing the course of history by being doers of the word. We're changing the course of history by being doers of the word. Hallelujah.
Amen.
My world will not dictate to me what my future is. I will dictate to the world around me what its future is. I'm going to speak because I am a son of the living God, and when I speak, things happen. When I speak, the course of power that runs through my words changes things. Come on now. What's going on in your life? You ready to speak to it? Preach at it? Tell it where to get off? Amen?
Amen.
Not too long ago, I mean, not too long ago. It seems like a long time when I stop and think about it, but really, in the grand scheme of things, not too long ago, I can remember sitting and looking at the bills on my desk, and I had to pay that day. I had over $3,000 worth of bills, and I had $300 to pay them with. You can do the math. It ain't going to work. At the end of that day, I had spoken at that instant and said, in the name of Jesus, I call all of my debts paid. I owe no man anything but love because Jesus is my source. That's what I said at 8 o'clock in the morning. By 11 o'clock that night, every single bill was paid. We were just telling that show off. No, I'm telling you that because that's available to all of us. Amen. We have to speak to the mountain. We have to speak to the fig tree. We have to speak to the things in our lives with the authority that Christ gave us and see it change. We are changing the course of history by being doers of the Word. Amen? When they brought my granddaughter in this week and said she had been diagnosed with the flu, my first thought was, take her in the other room. I don't want it. In the flesh, that's natural. Okay? We're going to try and stay away from all of those things. My wife isn't here today, not because she doesn't believe God for healing, not because she couldn't be here. She just knows that there are other people who might succumb to the temptation to be sick, having been exposed to her. Because she's in faith, and she is healed. And let me tell you, that's a good place to be. But until the symptoms are gone, she didn't want to expose somebody else to them. Does that make sense?
Yes.
My little brother was the other way around. See, his kids got the chicken pox, he brought them to church. And I said, what are you doing? He said, well, at least that way I go through the whole place and we don't have to deal with it again. And I said, that ain't Bible. But it works, I guess. So we do what the Word says. So this week we've spent a lot of time speaking to her body and to Peyton's body and to April's body and calling them healed in Jesus' name. My granddaughter, I mean, she was so miserable and so sick. You know, when a baby won't eat, you know things are bad. When they won't eat or drink, they're really bad. And so here she was, and she wasn't eating, and she wasn't drinking, and they brought her over and said, what should we do? And I said, well, we should pray. Amen?
Amen?
And I laid hands on her, and I spoke over her, and I spoke life over her, and immediately nothing happened that I could see. Does that mean nothing happened?
No.
No, because faith is dealing with the currency of the unseen. And in the unseen, I knew she's healed. The next day, brought her back over, and when I walked into the room, she lit up and she went into her normal chatter. She speaks in tongues. I don't understand a word. But she just lit up. And did she still have a runny nose? Yep. Did she still have a cough? Yep. But she is healed. The fever broke. She's on demand. When I see her today, she'll be laughing. I know, because she's laughing yesterday. She'll be having a good time. She'll have had a good night's sleep. Praise God for healing.
Amen.
But it doesn't just happen. We speak, and because we speak, things happen. Because God's given us the authority to do that. Well, are you telling me that we can just say anything that we want, it has to happen? No, absolutely not. We have to do what God's doing. And that's where vision comes into play. What do you see about your children? Where do you see them? If you look at the natural, they may not be doing what you think they should be doing. What does God see? What's God say about them? Come here, Candace. Come here. I need you. Come here.
Now this is why I don't sit on the front
page. I know. You guys know Candace. Everybody say hello, Candace.
Hello.
If we went purely by what we saw in the beginning,
I'm just making facial expressions to get with you, so keep going.
You wouldn't be here today, would you?
Probably not.
But God has a plan.
Yes.
God has a plan, and Candace is running with the plan.
Walking, but I'm getting there.
Baby steps.
Baby steps.
Baby steps. And if you think you've seen what's capable to be done with Candace, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Amen.
Amen.
I remember that one.
I remember the very first day sitting and talking with her in the office and beginning to pray. And I'm glad God doesn't quit. That He doesn't give up. He doesn't back off. That His plan. Good things.
Yep. Amen.
Amen. Love you.
Love you too. Good color scheme, by the way.
Thank you. Candace, in following the plan of God for her life, it's taken her someplace she never expected. Doing things you never expected. Saying things you never expected. Changing your history forever so that you can see your destiny realized. Amen?
Amen.
How many of you want to join her?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Stand together with me. We're going to make a confession of our faith together. Now, you got to be able to do this by faith. Faith doesn't go by what it can see. It goes by what the Word says. Amen? So I want you to say this out loud with me. I am just like God.
Just like God.
I think like God.
I act like God.
All the resources of heaven
are mine
in Jesus.
I choose
to follow God's plan,
to see His vision,
to hear His voice, and to act on His command. I receive all that He has for me, so that I can be all that He's called me to be. I am blessed. All of the abundance of heaven is mine in Jesus' name. My bills are paid. My debts are gone. I am free and able to give with abundance in Jesus' name. I am healthy. I am whole. I am disease free in Jesus' name. The things that the world would say are mine, I refuse to receive. The things that my genes tell me I should have, I refuse to have. I receive the resurrection life of God working in my body to bring resurrection life to manifestation in Jesus' name. And as a result, I am healthy. I am whole. I am blessed in Jesus' name. Everything that I need is mine. I ask, God gives. I ask, God gives. God asks, I give. Amen?
Amen.
You want to walk this way?
Yeah.
Let's be this people.
Amen.
And see the kingdom demonstrated in Jesus' name.
Jesus be the center of His church.
Yes.
Jesus be the center of your church. Every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess you, Jesus. 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 Jesus.
Good message.
Well,
good
thanks.
Word.
Thanks for coming.
Yes, indeed.
Appreciate having you guys here. Hope you'll come back.
You will.
All right. It's all about you. Yes, it's.
We have an invitation for lunch.
Oh, good. Well, enjoy it. Good morning.
You were talking about computers. I brought my son back with me. He was in ICU.
Okay.
And he doesn't have a computer. And I think that something like that he's really needing.
Okay.
So if you have anything, you know, doesn't want to
tablet? No. A tablet or a laptop be better.
He doesn't know anything about tablets. What's the difference?
Well, a tablet doesn't have a keyboard.
Oh, okay.
So it's pretty easy to use.
We aren't that up on that, the current stuff.
Okay. Well,
he could use, honestly, he has all his stuff in storage down there. I brought him home, and he was living in a motel.
Uh-huh.
He has our home now.
Bless you. Have a good week.
Oh, I'm going to eat too.
Very good sermon. He suffered so bad trying to help people. All he did was get down
sucked in.
Himself.
Yeah.
Awesome.
There is Bible study on Wednesday?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely. Glad.
Oh, glad to be here. God bless you.
You cool for this bad weather?
No, ma'am.
Huh? Sure you are.
No, ma'am. My heart's in the south.
So is mine. It's usually not.
Carolinas. Carolinas. Yes.
My sister was born in Winston.
Okay. You guys have a great week.
Great week, sir. Yes, sir.
Welcome back.
Yeah.
Good having you guys here. Charlie? God bless you, man.
Yeah, but we was in Georgia.
Can't you tell by your tan?
Yeah.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Have a wonderful week.
I'm going to.
I will. Amen.
But I have.
One thing after another.
I really do have lots. And so. If you want to talk to him and see which he would prefer, and then just give me a call.
Whatever.
Okay.
I don't have your phone number. No, really, whatever you have.
Okay.
Like I said, he doesn't know much about tablets.
Are you a ballerina, Daisy?
Just what you want to hear, right?
Have a good week. Blessed week.
I'm probably going to be like Jesus and take a nap on the seventh day.
A busy week.
Is that this morning? One of the marines heard. He tapped me like. Like what? You were snoring. What? No, was it? Skylar heard you. Like, oh. And I,
yeah.
And the funny thing was, I snored from this position.
We're even further over. It's more like on the desk. I don't know.
Okay. That's a good thing I don't work in an office.
This way.
I got a compliment from Walmart. I never get compliments from Walmart. They say we see a lot of improvement from you. Well, thank you.
How bad were you doing before?
I didn't like my cart job.
Hey, Sam. Good to see ya. How's it going? Good.
Have a great week.
Well, we're going to practice dance for Calmy Night here.
Hi, Daisy.
So I don't know how you want us to lock up or whatever. Practice. There you go.
My stomach is gone.
See, and then you just get right here. You're kind of jumpy.
Do you remember how amazing that cake was last year?
It was like 2 minutes too.
For your dad's birthday?
Yes.
Oh man, that was so good.
Yes.
I don't think I've ever had a cake like that. Not since, and not before.
Everybody has to do it.
She's like cackish.
Just a little.
Man.
Okay.
Kids with all the bars.